read this quote somewhere that said, the inches we need are all around us. I kind of like that, you know, it's like this whole accretion approach again. But there's also like a calmness and just thinking like, we don't have to be like doing big things and just going. Like all these small things that you need to do that'll help you like organize and create your world, they're all around you. You just need to be mindful enough to pay attention to them and the rest will take care of itself.
And that's a practice, you know, it's just a practice. It's a practice that you have to develop. And this is the new practice of the future, is because this is only the beginning of the change, right? There's so much more change coming and it's going to affect all of us. And really the ones that are going to win are the ones that are going to be the most centered. Because if you are already in a flurry, you can't actually deal with the change. You are part of the problem. One of the lines that I like so much is, if you are complaining about the traffic, remember you are the traffic. If you're panicking and it's about the panic, well, you're adding to the panic. Stop adding to the panic.
Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. It is great to have you with us. My name is Eric. I'm always joined by my ever elegant co-host, John, sitting in Dubai. And if this is your first time to the Expansive Podcast, at the Expansive, what we really care about is, how do we grow, evolve, and become more expansive for the world that we are living in today? And we always have a bit of a chat offline before we get into the pod. And we just continuously realize that the world is morphing in front of us so quickly that it's so easy to lose your footing in a world that looks very different from day to day. And so really it is our mission to not only figure this out for ourselves, but to go on this journey with you. And to help you also figure out, how do you be your most expansive self, live into most of your potential in a world where it feels like we don't always know what the next best step is going to be. And so with that preamble, John, how are you, brother?
What's up? What's up? I'm very well, thank you. Good to be on the pod again. You've been traveling. You've been in Germany last week or so. Good to have you back. And yes, every time I switch on TV or my social media, something new is happening in the world. Somebody's let go. Somebody's been hired. Some alien spaceship's on its way. There's always something going on. I mean, I was in Riyadh a month ago speaking to one of the big four consultancies, PwC, and they were celebrating their new partners. There must have been 80 partners in the room and it was amazing and everybody was happy. And the managing director was really jacked up and he was like, look, we have got huge choppy waters ahead of us. We know this. We've got to prepare better. And it wasn't 5 days after the conference and a headline came out and said, PwC has let go of 40 partners in the region.
Sure.
And then you think to yourself, man, you went from a very high-flying job to being let go for none of what you've done wrong. It's not about you. It's the market. And then you look at Accenture letting go 11,000 people. Then you look at McKinsey letting go of the X amount of people and 42,000 agents McKinsey's got now. You look at Accenture's share price and the CEO is all over the place trying to figure out what the share price is doing because it's tanking. And then in this last week, I got an email from PwC partners looking for opportunities. To me, asking me if I have any opportunities for ex-PW partners.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is rapidly changing. So yes, it's more important than ever before to stay expansive.
It's just like the world is filled to the brim with uncertainty. And I think what you said is so spot on, which is that it's not your fault. You know, like you're going to experience so much uncertainty at the moment. And it's not your fault necessarily. It's the fact that the world is just going through a recalibration. And like, people are getting fired because of AI, but then remember Klarna last year made, or maybe it was earlier this year, they made headlines because they fired so many people and they were like, they're mainly a sales organization and we're going to have AI do all of our sales.
Yeah.
And then everything tanked and they had to rehire a bunch of people. So like, you know, so people are being fired because of AI, but also rehired because of AI. And then we have Sora that drops this week and it just blows people, like it blows your mind to think that no one is involved in the process of like creating these new videos. And you just like, you don't know. You don't know what direction to move in. And then you have everyone telling you this is the skill of the future and that's the skill of the future and this is what you need to learn and, you know, stop studying, but also start studying this and, you know, unlearn this. And it's like, what direction do I move in? It's so much happening.
Look, in saying that, Eric, our day-to-day lives have not changed an iota. Like, yes, there is that term. It's funny because you almost have two timelines, right? You have absolute chaos and absolute nothing. Look, everything's exactly the same in my life. Everything's like kind of the same in your life. We have new things to research on and talk about. I was speaking to my mom who lives on a farm. I was like, Mom, your life's in fact better than it's ever been. Because she was telling me, oh my God, did you see this? And I can't believe that's happening. And then this happening. And we were talking about the turmoil of the world. And we're like, but there's no turmoil in our lives, actually. In our lives, we are very well protected. And I guess you know what it is. You remember in COVID, out of nowhere, and some freak luck, some industries rocked and some industries died. You know, we died, but grocery stores rocked. I mean, grocery stores couldn't flip and keep up. I mean, they were so successful. Delivery businesses shot through the roof. Online training shot through the roof. Other things died.
Toilet paper suppliers.
And toilet suppliers went through the roof. And so what you also realize is that we do have an inkling of what's going to change. And really what's going to change is highly intelligent people doing highly repetitive tasks. That's going to change. And if you're sitting in those positions, very quickly you need to start to think about other ways of, you know, gaining an income in some ways. But it is also like you don't know the repercussions and the ripple effects of these businesses, for example, PwC letting these partners go or Accenture letting go of 11,000 people. What are the ripple effects of that? What happens to those people and the businesses they used to support? And that's the thing that really is unknown, you know? So yeah, it is an interesting time.
You know that quote that says, the future's already here, not just evenly distributed. It's probably the same thing, you know, across many things, is that we experience such different realities. And I think if you are in the reality where there's a lot of chaos for you right now, the best thing that you can do is learn to flow with the chaos and be okay with that uncertainty. And if you are not in the chaos, don't just sit back and think, oh, well, I'm just insulated. It's never coming my way. It is coming your way. It's just a bit delayed, perhaps. When I was thinking about, so I was watching a video earlier this week, which is related but unrelated. It was a golf video. Like, it's my two, like, things that, three things that actually combine. It's like golf, videography, and like documentaries. So this dude goes to like different places and he plays golf, but he tells a story through the process. And this one was specifically about golf in Ukraine. And it was so, like, you know, I know about the war. We've seen it for a long time, but I don't know about the war. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see the real impact of it in people's lives. And so with this documentary, he went to go and play golf in the Ukraine, and he talks about, like, you know, they land in Poland, they make their way through the border crossing, like all the sort of stress that maybe comes with that. And then they show, like, golf is pretty new in Ukraine. I think they had like 7 or 8 courses that were built. But they built this like state-of-the-art golf facility. Beautiful. Like, from the greens and the fairways to the facility itself, like, just incredibly done. And then they show that, and then they fast forward to the war, and that entire place is destroyed. The golf facility is non-existent. They are literally like artillery. Why can't I say that word?
Artillery. Artillery.
Yes, thank you.
Artillery.
That's a
good thing you're
word.
Not a speaker. Good thing you're not a speaker.
Good reminder to never use that in a keynote speech. Yes, they're like like shells lying in the fairways.
Yeah.
So like you see that, and it's like it's so far removed from the life that I'm living. And yet, so they were following this guy who was a pro hockey player that then turned pro golfer. And he started working at this beautiful facility, and then it got destroyed through the war. And they had this beautiful line. They said, golf changed his life. I'm going to butcher this line. But essentially, like, where it's ended up is, like, he's now teaching people golf who've lost their limbs through war. So I bring it up just to go, like, his reality is so, like, couldn't be further removed from mine. You know? Wow. And, like, it's amazing what people are going through. And, again, just uncertainty, chaos. For so many people, in the world right now.
Yeah, it is. So if you're going through something like this, look, the best thing you can do is simplify the future and elevate your awareness. When you simplify the future, you become more friendly with it. You understand what you need to do with it. Elevate your awareness to start to have new ways to think about it and to solve problems in new ways. And that's a practice, you know, it's just a practice. It's a practice that you have to develop. And this is the new practice of the future, is because this is only the beginning of the change, right? There's so much more change coming.
For sure.
And it's going to affect all of us. And really the ones that are going to win are the ones that are going to be the most centered. Because if you are already in a flurry, you can't actually deal with the change. You are part of the problem. One of the lines that I like so much is that if you are complaining about the traffic, remember, you are the traffic.
Yes.
So if you're panicking and it's about the panic, well, you're adding to the panic. Stop adding to the panic. Collectively, you're not actually helping the collective by being in such a panic. It's better that you calm yourself down. So yeah, we also have to realize the responsibility we have to play within the chaos so that we bring some sort of centeredness into the chaos itself, you know? And that's what I was telling my mom last night, you know? It's like her and I are very centered. And I was like, well, look at our lives. It's actually growing in many ways, not diminishing. And so it really shows you that you can choose the timelines you want to live in based on your projection and your ideas around, you know, the way you think about the future is how you prepare for the future. It's such an important skill.
I love that. Mm. You need to be the beacon of calm amidst the chaos. And there's something that's so attractive about people like that, you know, and I think because we resonate, because we find the calm and the peace with them, it's a highly attractive trait. Someone who I think really exudes that is someone who just passed away, Jane Goodall. I don't know if you watched some of her videos. Like, so everyone knows, you know, she was the big chimpanzee lover and documented so much of her journey with them. And I watched some videos of her this week, and I had this like feeling of I wish I knew her, and I was able to spend a bit of time with her and listen to her talk and, you know, just share conversation, because she has that energy which is so inviting and warm, and you just like, you just want to be engaged with her. And also, like, the video that I...
And what's her favorite animal?
The favorite animal that she has, despite the fact that she spent all of her life working with chimps, is a dog.
Yes.
And I loved that video when I found it.
And the way... I mean, it was somebody interviewing and said, so which, like, which monkey's your favorite or something? She's like, no. Dogs are my favorite. And the guy's like, what? I'm like, exactly. Of course dogs are your favorite. Dogs are the best. They're the best things in the world. Are you joking?
Listen, dude. So moving on from the chaos and the uncertainty, you have some good news, big news. Tell us about it.
Okay. So, you know, both of the things that I want to talk about are dreams and intentions I had many, many years ago. And I had to let them go for them to come into fruition. And this is really the lesson in this. And the first one is the big, this is not the big news. The first one is me meeting with a guy called Paul Steenkamp. And Paul Steenkamp, when I started my journey as an innovation specialist at The Fresh Ingredient, I remember hearing about Paul Steenkamp. Do you know what Paul Steenkamp was? He headed up the innovation program at FNB. When FNB was under Michael Jordan and they started to do that internal innovation program where you won R1 million for the best innovation that came out the company. And then it went on that Michael Jordan won CEO of the year globally, not just in banking, of all CEOs in the world, of what he had achieved there. And Paul was telling me that it was the largest migration of banking clients in the history of banking, of everybody in South Africa moving over to FNB. I mean, it was radical.
Yeah, they were in a huge campaign. Yes, yeah.
Huge, yeah. And I remember 10 years ago thinking to myself, Paul Steenkamp, that job that he must do was almost like, if I was a footballer, he would be my Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. And I used to read on him and I used to read about what he used to do and how he used to do it. And I was like, if I only had a chance to work or do his job or work with him, it would be unbelievable. And then he went and headed up Standard Bank's innovation program, and they didn't gel and eventually left. And here I am in Dubai, and I get a call a couple months ago from a guy called Warren Bond, who runs a company called Future World, a very well-known future sort of think tank that helps organizations and governments. And he says to me, look, I've been watching your stuff online. I really like what you're doing. Can we meet up? I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't really know who he was. So anyway, go meet up, have a chat. It ends up that his company is one of the people that advises the 120 ministers that run Dubai. They sit there and they advise, fun fact, 100 of the ministers that run Dubai are female, 20 are male.
Wow.
Fun fact. And he invites me to join Future World, to go in with them, to go and help them what they're doing. And then he says to me, look, I'd like for you to meet somebody else that's working with us. His name's Paul Steenkamp. And I was like, no way. And this was 10 years in the making of me totally fanboying this guy, right? Yeah. Totally fanboying him. Anyway, so I arrive in the meeting. I'm like, Paul, you have no idea, bro. You are such a hero in my eyes. And he's like, John, I can't believe you're saying that. I love your work. I've been reading your stuff and I've been watching. I was like, no way. Are you joking? And so Paul and I have become really good friends. And he and I have spent now more time together. And this morning I sent you a video on friendship. In fact, I sent it to my close friends and he sent it to me. He sent me a whole essay on friendship by David White. And it was so beautiful. He's such a deep, deep guy and thinks so deeply about things. And no wonder he headed up that program. And now I'm working with him in Dubai 10 years later. By total indirect fluke, and also somebody I really looked up to kind of enjoys my work. And so it was a really
very,
great,
very cool. Yeah, very cool.
It was a great sort of full circle. Just a little story on the caveat of that is recently Robin Sharma started following me on Instagram. I actually sent you the screenshot. I was like, what? Robin Sharma? I wasn't even following him. So I quickly followed him because I thought it was a little bit rude that I wasn't following him. Anyway. I was in a meditation a couple of weeks afterwards. Again, this is not the big news. I'll get to the big news now. And I was in a meditation a couple of weeks later and it said, reach out to Robin Sharma. My meditation in my head, it was like, reach out to Robin Sharma and ask him to guide you. And I kind of thought about it. And you know, when you get a good idea in meditation, you forget about it when you come out, right? Because it's brilliant when you're in there and it kind of fades.
You keep meditating and then you forget about it. Yes.
Yeah, you forget about it. And about a week later, again in the meditation, it's like, get hold of Robin Sharma. So I actually stopped the meditation. I came out and I messaged Robin Sharma and he came back to me and he's like, look, love your work, read your books and think you're great. Happy to give you some time. I don't coach anybody one-on-one, but happy to give you 45 minutes of my time. Let me know when it's time. Very good for cool. you. And I was like,
yeah,
well, hang on a second. Robin's read my books and he's now giving me some time to coach me and mentor me. I was like, what is going on here? It's like such a wonderful full circle moments, you know, these moments that come up. Okay, so the big news.
You know, before you get to that, I just want to say, we've often on this pod spoken about this idea that like you work until you meet your heroes at the same level, you know, and the energy that you arrive with is so important, and that yes, you could have reached out to them in an earlier stage of your career, and the power dynamics would have been off. It might have resulted in nothing, but the fact that like. You kind of stay in your lane, you do the work, and at some point the energy matches. At some point, like you arrive because you are in the same circles. I think it's so important. And like this again just demonstrates it. And even if it's a 10-year journey that it's like taken, I think it kind of proves the point a bit more.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because remember we spoke about the five people you hang around with are the people that you become. And
yeah.
Often people ask to join circles they're not ready for. And what the way you get to hang around with the people that you look up to, that you want to hang around with, is become one of them. That was the answer to that. And I guess I've become one of them. And now we meet at a more balanced process where it's a give and take, not just a take, you know? Yeah, it's been really fascinating to watch it. And just in a caveat, bro, I'm just looking behind you. You got a picture of Axel there, hey? And I got a picture of Superdog here. And you know, this is the only picture I took with me from South Africa. And a friend of mine painted this in her sort of art class. And I'm looking behind you and you got a picture of Axel there. And both of us have got color, sort of pencil. Jeez, I feel so emotional actually all of a sudden. So beautiful, these boys are. Anyway, I feel so emotional because of it. It's so funny. We've got such similar pictures of our dogs behind us. That is so amazing. I didn't see that.
This is the from Mexico.
Mexico, yes.
Sugar Skulls.
Yes. Yeah, for the dead. Celebration of the Dead.
Yeah, and Celebration of the Dead. And October is the month that Axel died 2 years
ago. Lost.
Yeah, so it's funny. Like, his picture's been downstairs the entire time, and I literally just brought it up the other day, and I was like, I didn't even think about it. And then I was like, oh.
It's October.
I get it. Yeah, yeah.
It's October.
All right, where were we? Big news.
Okay, so the big news is, about 6 weeks ago, I got an email in LinkedIn and said to me, look, John, we've been watching your stuff. We'd like to publish your book. And, you know, you get all these sales emails on LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, whatever. I ignored it. Like, I mean, a week later, I'm like, okay, let me just get back to this person. Who is this person? And it ends up being Wiley Publications from America. They've been watching some of my talks, and this guy's strategy is to find keynote speakers that have got big audiences to publish corporate sales books, you know, what we did with Expansive. And so after a couple chats and a backs and forths, and I just this last week, I signed my first international publishing deal with Wiley Europe. And
yes,
how
man.
Exciting, bro. Yeah, how exciting.
Dude, and, well done.
Yeah, thank you.
It's huge.
Thank
you. That's yeah, amazing. It's huge, huh?
And again, I don't want the to power downplay dynamics.
It. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And also, look, I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me, you know, and it's just... And you know, sometimes you think to yourself, and especially you and I, we really suffer from this. And I think everybody does as ambitious. You think, I'm not doing enough. Like, I should be doing more.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
What else should I be doing? Like, what am I missing? Like, what's the, who do I call in for a strategy session? Like, where? And then you're like, shut up, bro. Just relax. Just relax. This stuff's coming. It's coming. And so this European publication, and yeah, here we go. And this week we meet with the team. They've given me a team to figure out a new title, because they said to me, look, we don't think your title is right for a business world. And I was like, actually, I agree with you. I don't think it's the right title. So, so now I've got a European team helping me with my book.
Future Memories?
Yeah, Future Memories. They said, look, yeah, okay. It's a good title, but not for the business world. I was like, I agree.
I agree with that. I think it's when I keep seeing the Thinkers 50 lists pop up, and I look at their books, and it's very bland. Like, you know, like you almost, and which is a bit of a tough thing, but like their things are very bland. It's like how to this, like, you know, whatever leadership.
Lead in the age of disruption.
Yeah.
12 leadership teams, facilities. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I have two things I want to say on that. One is something that I think is interesting about your energy when it comes to these things is it's not a lack of care about it, but it's a calmness about opportunities coming to you. I'm trying to find like the right way to articulate it, because it's not the first time this has happened to you where there's an opportunity that presents itself and you don't like even realize it's on the table until like a bit later.
Yeah, that's true.
Like with the futurist, the top five global futurist thing. Yeah. Right? Like I literally had to show you that you were on that list.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I think for a lot of people, like you are constantly checking, like what's happened. Like, you know, this is the next thing is like, what's like pursuing. And I think part of that energy is what, or I think a big part of that energy is what brings it into your world.
Yes.
Is that there is a calmness about it.
There's no chase towards it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same. I mean, it's kind of the same thing we just spoke about in terms of a 10-year trajectory of meeting someone. Like, yes, you could have chased him down potentially it would have worked and you might have had a great flourishing relationship for the past 5 years. Who knows? But this feels like a much better way to meet each other and for this to have evolved. So I think there's something about that energy. That's one thing I wanted to say. And then the second thing is, I heard this quote, or I read this quote somewhere that said, the inches we need are all around us. And I kind of like that, you know, it's like this whole accretion approach again. But there's also like a calmness and just thinking like, we don't have to be like doing big things and just going. Like all these small things that you need to do that'll help you like organize and create your world, they're all around you. You just need to be mindful enough to pay attention to them. And the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, I love it. I sent you during the week. I've been watching and I still watch him. I think I've just fallen in love with this guy. He's the nerdiest camper and he runs a YouTube channel called Outdoor Boys. And he has amassed a viewership of 4 billion views, okay? He's a one-man show. He goes into the Alaskan wilderness, and he sets up camp. And his videos are 30 minutes long. And he does exactly the same thing. Sets up a camp, tracks into middle of nowhere, sets up a camp, finds firewood, sets up the firewood, cooks himself food, falls asleep, wakes up, does the same, goes home. 35 minutes. I've watched, I don't know, bro, 15 of them, 20 of them. We're talking, I've spent 10 hours with this guy. And I've just fallen in love with him. He's got 3 kids. He's got a wife. He is so genuine, bro. So, so genuine. And I sent you a documentary about his success, because the more I watch him, the more suggestions I get about him. And they were saying that he did not take one sponsorship deal, not one sponsorship deal. And he got 1,000 options, didn't take one sponsorship deal, didn't create any merch, didn't do any. If you take the playbook of developing an online brand, he did every single one of them the opposite. But what he was so authentic. And I think, and if you watch the comments, there's no negative comments on his videos. Watch, like there's thousands, like imagine, I mean, you got 40 million views of him going camping of one video, and he puts a video out every week, bro. He was putting out a video every week of going camping, and he takes his kid sometimes, then he takes his wife, then he's always doing different things, finding new adventures. And the guy in the documentary was saying the only thing he has that we can't bottle and can't practice, not that we can't, is authenticity. It's just so genuine. And that's what I've fallen in love with him. He's so genuine as a human. And I think if you go back to what we do, it's the authenticity of it. It's the realness of it. And then if you are that authentic and that real, you're not chasing. Like, chasing is when you're almost not your true self. Because if you really in your deep, 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 deep self, you have the elegance and the fortitude to hold. And he was making videos because he loved going camping and he loved being out there. And that's what his gift was, not the sponsorship deal. And on his 20 million views, he's telling people what products he's bought and how good they were and why they're so good. He was like shy of talking about brands. If they were bad, he would say if they were good, they were bad. So I think it always comes down to this process and practice of centeredness and authenticity. Mm. And now, as you said last week, people are so focused on strategy because it's easy to focus on strategy, not on identity. And if you think about what is identity, it's centeredness, it's authenticity. That's what identity actually and ultimately is, right? So he's so inspired me, this guy, just to be truly, 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 truly yourself. And so thank you for the reflection point. And it comes back to the video I sent you this morning. And if anybody's listening who wants to watch this video, it's Friendships by David White. Go and watch it. Whew, I feel emotional again. he talks about wit. I don't know why I feel emotional. Every time we speak about dogs, I feel like crying. And then that just opens up my tears, you know. He speaks about friendship is about witnessing each other. That's it. And I was like, phew, you just have to witness each other. You know, that's the beauty of the friendship.
Can I read that part? Because I clipped it.
Yeah.
So he said, the ultimate touchstone of friendship is not improvement, neither of the self nor of the other. The ultimate touchstone of friendship is witness, the privilege of having been seen by someone and the equal privilege of being granted the sight of the essence of another. To have walked with them and to have believed in them, and sometimes just to have accompanied them for however brief a span on a journey impossible to accomplish alone. Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean,
jeez. That guy is unbelievable. I mean, one of our guests has done walking tour with him. Who was that guest? Rowan Bletcher.
Yes.
Rowan Bletcher.
Yeah, it is.
And he did a walking tour with him in Ireland, walking during the day in the mountains, doing poetry at night around the fireplace. What? That sounds like heaven.
Yeah. You know, what I loved about the video is that I think when you have a deeper, like there's friendships you have where, like, it's, you know, you party together and it's fun, and I think you know each other at a deep level, But I don't think there's a responsibility that you have towards that person for their growth and pulling them to their higher self. And I think when I was listening to this video, it was just a reminder that there are friendships where you do have that responsibility. And you, it's not that you just like that you just have it, it's that you want it. And that's part of the privilege that he speaks about here, is that yes, you get to witness that growth, but you are also involved in it, because in that same video, he says that you speak to their higher self, you know, like when they falter, and they will because they're human and they're on this journey, that yes, you can lord that over them and you can, you know, I guess you can focus in on that aspect of their character or their experience, but that's not what you do as a friend. As a friend, you realize that there's this much better version of them and you are just holding them accountable or raising them up to that version over and over again. And so it's like, it's this amazing responsibility that we have, this privilege that we have. And then just to witness, it's such a great word to use, people's evolution and to be a part of it.
It's really special, you know, as I'm getting older, friendships just, maybe because also I'm not married, they just mean so much more to me, and the responsibility I have to them just becomes more. I guess that is part of living a good life, is those connections. Living a good life is being seen and to be seen. And there is nothing else. There really shouldn't be anything else, you know. It's so touching to have that. And you know, what you were talking about is deal friends and real friends. You know, you have friends for certain deals, the deals for business, deals for jolling, deals for exercising. And then you have the real friends who are there for no deal whatsoever. They're just there. And many people mistake deal friends for real friends. And in fact, to some of my friends, I've asked them, I said, do you have deal friends or real friends? They're like, I think you might be my only real friend because we're not doing any deals together, you know? And you don't realize, you know, that's such a big part. I don't know, you know, as a woman, I heard this amazing line today. You obviously heard of mansplaining, right? God forbid anybody mansplains, yes. Right? But fair enough. We don't want to tell anybody. We don't know. Actually, we don't know. So why the hell should we be thinking we do know? So yes, absolutely. But there is also another term called shelaborating. So you also get so shelaborators, all you shelaborators out there, don't come tune me. And there was a lady on your post about friendship, right? You made a post about friendship, and again I commented as an example to the friendship, and she went on about what men should do, and I swear I was gonna write, geez, you're shelaborating, eh? What are you telling us what we should do? Like, thanks so much. thank you. So, but I didn't. I kept it PC.
I saw that post. So for everyone listening, I made a post about just kind of my journey from Better Man, which I founded, which was a self-development community for men, to the work that I'm doing today. And in it, I said that, you know, one of the things I took from Better Man was just this, the importance of brotherhood. And then this lady came onto my post and she was just ranting about this brotherhood. It obviously triggered her. And she was saying how brotherhood creates a glass ceiling and how leaders are using it across the world, you know, to exclude people. And I was like,
what?
You obviously didn't read my post. You saw that word and it just triggered you, because I said nothing. It was nothing about leadership or corporate or anything like that. It was literally about the fact that I think men need men and that that's a healthy thing. But it was funny. And so like, I saw that post and it made me feel agitated. And I thought, I'll just sit with it. I'm not going to respond straight away. I'll respond, but not straight away. And then obviously she must have gone back and read it properly, because then she deleted it.
Oh, did she delete it? Delete it? Okay, because I didn't go back to check, because was I was going to hashtag shelaborate. But I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to have another. Also, it was your post. You know, people, if they come onto my post, I'll tune them straight. There was a lady, I put this post up the other day. It was so funny. It's a husband listening to the wife. And the wife is telling him about the drama at work. And he's saying, she's creating all the drama, but I can't say anything. So I'm just going to hear and listen to his wife. You saw that post. Did you see it? So this lady messages me on Instagram. That is disrespectful. If women earn the same amount of money as men at work, she wouldn't be complaining. I was like, oh my God. I was like, please unfollow me immediately. Please. I don't want you as my follower. Please leave me. Leave now. What's wrong with me then?
So
anyway,
funny.
It's elaboration.
If you want to be triggered, you'll find something to be triggered about. That's
exactly
for sure.
That is true.
And the online space will provide you with
endless opportunities,
ample,
endless
triggers.
Endless.
Yes, to practice your triggers.
Yeah.
Since we are on like the journey of deep emotional things and things that we care about, I want to read something else to you that also like caught my attention this week. And it's slightly longer, but it's well worth listening to. So there's a quote from Visakan Virasamy that captures something essential. I have not yet grown wise enough to deeply enjoy simple things. We are all terrible accountants of our own joy. Most of us only accept deposits when the transaction is sufficiently large. The day we get married, the night we play the main stage, the moment our business sells for millions. Anything less and the entry doesn't even make the ledger. We treat small pleasures like counterfeit currency. And you think, oh, that little thing that made your day, that small moment made you weak. How feeble, how desperate, how limited your life must be to be thrilled by something so unimpressive. You must not have a lot going on. We roll our eyes at the tiny events that others get excited about, as though joy must be proportionate to scale. And yet, life is made up of little things exactly like this, not once in a while, but always. Your life is entirely constructed out of moments so small they wouldn't even register as events on someone else's calendar. So why can't something small be something great? So ask yourself this. What if something small could be something great? I was listening to this on the plane back from Germany. And this one line, just like it hit me pretty hard. This line that he says, you know, you enjoy something small in your day and the dialogue, the narrative in your head goes, how feeble, how desperate, how limited your life must be to be thrilled by something so unimpressive. Mm. You must not have a lot going on.
It's embarrassing.
How crazy that we can tell ourselves these stories, that you can experience a bit of joy in your day for something small that you do, like going for a walk with your dogs or enjoying the bit of time at the ocean, and you enjoy that and you immediately judge it for it being a sign of your life not being big enough, because what you should be appreciating is a bigger paycheck or, you know, like something expensive or something big. And I was just like, it's insane to me how we distort the things in our lives and how we want it to play into a certain narrative.
It tells us how skewed reality in the world of industrial revolution has become. What we prioritize and who our gods are people with money, nothing else. Like somebody was saying to me the other day, I think it was Richard Mulholland. If it was you, Rich, I think it was. I know you're listening. I don't know if it was somebody close to me, and they made the idea that success, he is very successful. I said, and how? No, he's made money. He's an entrepreneur. I was like, but how is that success? No, he's made it. But how has that made it? Like, he could be on Prozac and have a liver dysfunction. And also, I don't know, he could be doing 10 other things. And in fact, the person regressed and said, no, you're right. That's actually not, that's only one part of making it. But even our own selves, we always in this idea that, you know, if you've got money, you're successful and that's all it is. And it's got to be grandiose. And I think of myself, the sulking child I become when I have to fly economy class. And I become an absolute, like a brat. In my head, I'm a brat about it. Because it's become such a big thing in my process and it's been a game, like I become bratty. And I'm like, I have to remind myself. It's like, bro, you're doing something that people, I'm at 20% of the human population has ever flown. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like a comeback, center yourself. And I do this. Somebody said the other day, what a privilege it is that your muscles are sore, your body is fully functioning, that you could even go to gym to make them sore. I was like, wow. Oh, yeah.
even on the flight to Germany, we were flying economy.
Sorry. Let's play some.
I wanted to
I'm so sorry for your loss, Eric Kruger. Tell us.
I was going to send you a video because as I was walking through business, I was like, oh, this is the walk of shame, you know, walking through there to get to the back. And then I'm sitting down like with my wife next to me, like going to Germany.
For 4 days.
For four days. And you want to you want to judge that, like, and you want to like degrade like the experience. And maybe that's part of why this hit me like when I was flying back. But so enjoy the small things. Like have an appreciation for the small things. And it's often, you know, when we, I think it's just also part of this continuous process of non-judgment. And you don't have to judge every single thing in your life all the time and hold it to a certain standard all the time. It's exhausting to live like that. And so if that's what you are doing right now, then this is a great invitation for you to not
Another judgment, another way of saying no judgments, no reaction. It's react differently. Dr. Joe always says, be greater than your environment. And when he says, when you're greater than your environment, it means when your environment gives you the cue for your trigger and behavior to kick, be greater. Hold, see it, don't react. And the more you do that, your brain starts to realize that reaction is not what you do, and that reaction fades. Yeah, you got to be greater than your environment so that, you know, the environment's not triggering you into the same old behavior. A cue, economy class, the environment, anything around the environment that used to make you triggered in some way, you know, be greater than you. In fact, he says, be greater than your body, be greater than time, and be greater than the environment. When you're greater than those three things, your body is... Your time, your body, and the environment are telling you how to react. That is the reaction. So when you say non-reaction, it's mean don't react to those three things, and then they start to fade. And that's the loop we have to keep getting out of. You know, that was to be honest with you, bro, that is the only thing you should be doing in life. You should be doing nothing else. The quicker you can get over your current reaction to your environment, time, and body, the sooner you stop having this experience and have a higher level of experience. So if you're reacting to not having money and you keep reacting to having not money, you'll keep having, you'll have no money. The minute you stop reacting to that, more money starts coming into your life. So that means you don't have to actually worry about making money. You have to create the environment that is conducive to you to not react to not having money. Jeez, that's a bit of convoluted, but you know what I mean.
That is, I think we've said this time and time again. This is the practice of expansiveness. Like this is the continuous internal process you need to be going through. And for you to be expansive externally is all about the inner work that you are doing.
Only.
And it's so easy to think that we do a little bit of work and it's done. No, it's not done. It's never done. In fact, the more done it is, the more you realize that there's so much still left to be done.
Yeah.
So.
Look, I mean, I like what you just said now. Being expansive on the outside is all about that internal. And it's a 100% about being internally expansive. And if you think about expansive, what are you being? You're more expansive than time, body, and environment. More expansive than that, than your current expansiveness. I got 6 weeks left to Dr. Joe. Let me tell you, bro, I feel like a kid going to the beach for the very first time. I am beyond excited. I am beyond excited. I can't tell you the butterflies I'm getting in my stomach to going to Dr. Joe. I'm so excited. It's 6 weeks.
Where's this retreat going to be? Cancun?
Always Cancun. And I'm in Brazil for a week before. So I'm speaking in Rio de Janeiro and then I'm staying in Ipanema for 4 days and then flying to Cancun. So it's going to be a horrible November. Horrible, horrible. Jeez, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but it's going to be tough. Tough November coming up.
Well, thoughts and prayers. Yes. Thoughts and prayers.
Light a candle for me, please.
All right. Listen, great episode. Really enjoyed it. I think it's a good example of what the expansive is about. Speaking about friendships, dogs, success, enjoying the small things in life, uncertainty in the world, chaos, like covering a lot of things, all the things that we are interested in and care about deeply. So yeah, as always, great to be on the pod with you. I think it's quite interesting as well that like if you've been a listener of the pod for the past 260 episodes, then you've also witnessed our friendship, right? And I think that's what's sustained the pod over 260 episodes. it's been amazing that it's been this process of growth and like from a professional point of view and us figuring out things and, you know, trying different things with the pod, but it's also been just really a friendship on display. And I think that's always what's also brought people into the pod as well. So thank you for that. Thank you for witnessing me. It's been a pleasure to witness you. And for everyone listening, we'll be back more or less the same time next week for episode 261. You can find us on every platform, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and we look forward to being expansive with you. Cheers.
Ciao.